Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, July 9th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Crothers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Coming up in today's episode, updates from this week's City Council meeting, with motions aimed at improving everyday life for residents, from neighborhood pathways to on-street parking. Plus, some messages directly from the city, including updates on the tragically hip 10th anniversary celebrations, new community pantries to fight food insecurity, and the launch of the Community Harm Reduction and Public Safety Pilot Project Funding Program. Plus, your weather and traffic report for this upcoming weekend, and a few events to keep on your radar from CFRC's events calendar. Without further delay, let's dive in. Council has directed staff to review the city's on-street parking and enforcement policies, following ongoing concerns about illegal parking in residential neighborhoods. The motion, brought forward by Councillor Paul Shaves and seconded by Councillor Ryan Boehm, cites issues including vehicles blocking sidewalks, encroaching onto roadways, and creating accessibility and safety concerns for pedestrians. Introducing the motion, Shaves said the rationale was straightforward.
This is probably one of the biggest concerns I receive from residents of my district. And I have corresponded with staff many occasions in regards to them. And I just figured it's time for a motion, and I'd like to thank staff as well for collaborating with this motion. And I do believe it basically speaks to for itself. And I just hope everyone supports this, and that's all I'm going to say.
Several councillors voiced their support during debate, saying the concerns have become increasingly common across the city.
I get a lot of calls about people just parking in the middle of cul-de-sacs, and then bylaw shows up, they're not currently there, and then people are just getting frustrated that there's not like some type of progressive enforcement if there's reoccurring offenses and stuff like that. So all this really does is kind of seek to give us more tools in the toolbox to be able to prevent kind of the worst offenders from just continuing to do the same things and allow the streets and parking to be used appropriately and properly.
Constantly, every day, I see people parking out on sidewalks, in bike lanes, half in bike lanes and half on the sidewalk. And so, yeah, so I think it's we really need to look at this and try to find ways to make this, you know, better. Because I see cyclists having to swerve into traffic just to be able to go around where when they're supposed to be able to just drive in their safety of their own lane.
The review will examine Kingston's current parking and enforcement policies, as well as approaches used by other Ontario municipalities. It will also consider how curb space is managed as part of the city's integrated mobility plan and upcoming complete streets work. City staff have been directed to report their findings and recommendations back to council by the fourth quarter of 2027. Many who regularly use Kingston's network of neighborhood pathways may have noticed that some have become more difficult to navigate over time, as wear and tear has taken its toll. Councillor Wendy Steven brought a motion before council at their last meeting aimed at improving the maintenance of these well-used community connections. The motion directs staff to create standards and an approach to maintenance for the city's neighborhood pathway network, responding to concerns Steven says she's consistently heard from constituents.
I've heard from a lot of constituents over this term about neighborhood pathways, and it comes in seasonal, cyclical kind of times. So, you know, as councillors, we're facing a lot of different priorities, and we do need to adjust, and we've reached a point where it feels like this is time where we need to actually really take a good look at our pathway system. It fits with all of the other things and all the other work we're trying to do for community, and I think this could be a real boost to our neighborhoods.
This was echoed by other councillors around the Horseshoe, who have had similar feedback from residents in their own districts.
Portsmouth District has a number of pathways, and as we know, Kelvin and Polson Park communities are one of the oldest subdivisions in the city, and the pathways are kind of showing it. So really happy to support this. I am hearing a lot from school parents about kids utilizing the pathways. And especially for older adults who are trying to get to a bus stop and using that pathway to get there in a quicker mechanism for mobility challenges. So our pathways are looking for some help, and this is a good motion to begin that process. So
so many pathways in the East End, and I can think of some of them right now where tree roots have them undulating, and it's basically, if you go down it with a pair of rollerblades, you almost feel like you're at a skate park. So this is something where, you know, as Councillor Stephen mentioned, a lot of these went in many years ago when the subdivision went in and the developer paid for them, and there was no real plan, so to speak, to maintain them. So call them pathways, call them active transportation, roadways, however you want to look at it, they are an asset, and we've got to have a plan to maintain them. And many, many of them are long overdue for some tender love and care. So wholeheartedly support this, happy to see it, and can't wait to see the improved pathways as a result of this.
In addition to responding to these community concerns, Stephen also noted the other benefits better maintenance of the pathways can bring.
Neighborhood pathways are a really important part of our pedestrian network and our active transportation network in our neighborhoods. So we are already, as a city, embarking on the integrated mobility plan, and through that plan, we have some targets looking to shift our mode share, right, from cars to other modes of transportation. I've got my Kingston Transit pen with me tonight, but also, you know, walking, rolling, all those kinds of things, too. We know as well that active transportation connects really deeply to our climate action goals, our climate action plan. We know it's good for people's health. Councillor Tozzo just brought up the playground accessibility and that idea of can I get there, which is really, really important, and that freedom that kids so sorely need.
Stephen also emphasized the opportunity for unique solutions, recognizing the budgetary pressures the city is currently facing.
One of the things that I'm hoping that this motion will also address is we can acknowledge that there are significant budget pressures at the city. We all know that. So the intention behind this is not only to get that asset management piece, but also to give staff that direction to go out and explore a little bit. Maybe there are other ways that we could be maintaining this pathway. These kind of innovative approaches, like, for example, maybe adopt a pathway. Maybe there are people who live in our neighborhoods who actually want to take something on, and maybe we could recognize them in some way.
With unanimous support from Council, city staff will now undertake public engagement on the Neighborhood Pathway Network before returning with recommendations to Council. Those recommendations will outline an approach for the existing pathway network with proposed maintenance service levels and an implementation plan. Before we get into more local news, let's take a look at your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week. Starting with a look at traffic around Kingston, first, construction and delays. Expect lane reductions on King Street West between Country Club Drive and Front Road, while Utilities Kingston continues water and sanitary main installations. Drivers may also encounter delays on Bath Road between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue, as crews continue installing new pedestrian crossing signals. Construction continues at the intersection of Montreal Street and John Counter Boulevard, with roadway and sidewalk repairs, landscaping, and line painting. Paving and road improvements are ongoing on Taylor Kidd Boulevard between Coronation Boulevard and Collins Bay Road. Intermittent lane closures also remain in effect on John Counter Boulevard between Portsmouth Avenue and Division Street through July 15th for maintenance work. Moving to road closures, Johnson Street between University Avenue and Sydenham Street is closed daily from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. through July 10th for asphalt resurfacing and new pavement markings. Cranbrook Street between Lakeview Avenue and Days Road is closed through the end of August for pedestrian improvements. John Street between Montreal Street and Bagot Street remains closed through July 31st for Utilities Kingston water and sanitary service upgrades. Norman Rogers Drive between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Van Order Drive remains closed for roadway rehabilitation and safety improvements. Princess Street remains closed between Frontenac and Division Street as the city's major reconstruction project continues. Sydenham Street remains closed between Princess and Queen Streets for the Sydenham Street community space. Wright Crescent remains closed between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent for roadway repairs and traffic calming improvements. Aberdeen Street between Johnson and William Streets remains closed for construction staging, while Berry Street at Queen Street remains closed for construction activity related to 283 Queen. Finally, looking ahead to special event closures coming up, Ontario Street between Brock Street and Clarence Street will be closed starting today until the early morning of July 13th for the Kingston Buskers Rendezvous. McGowan Drive between Henderson Boulevard and Akron Street will close Saturday, July 11th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for sanitary sewer repairs. On Sunday, July 12th, Montreal Street between Princess and Queen will close from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for the Montreal Street Collective Vintage Market. Also on Sunday, July 12th, the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. to allow for the temporary opening of the main marine navigation channel. As for your weather forecast, any showers or thunderstorms this evening will taper off overnight, with skies gradually clearing. It'll stay warm with an overnight low of around 18 degrees. Friday brings a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers and a daytime high of 26 degrees. It'll be a pleasant summer day overall with just a slight chance of a passing shower. Friday night sees cloudy periods with a low of 17. Saturday is shaping up to be the pick of the weekend with plenty of sunshine and a high of 27 degrees. Clear skies continue into Saturday night with a comfortable low of 18. Sunday looks just as nice with sunny skies and a high of 28 degrees. Sunday night brings increasing cloudiness with a 30% chance of showers and an overnight low of 19. That's your weather and traffic outlook for the weekend. Now let's jump back to more local news. Diving into some messages directly from the City of Kingston this week. Starting off, the city is launching a new funding program aimed at supporting community organizations working to address homelessness, improve public safety, and strengthen community well-being. In a release issued this week, the city announced the launch of its new Community Harm Reduction and Public Safety Pilot Project funding program. According to the city, the program will make up to $350,000 in one-time funding available to support innovative, community-led pilot projects that address gaps in local services while helping reduce harm in the community. City officials say the funding is intended to encourage new ideas and new approaches, whether that's supporting organizations that are new to the sector, introducing new services, or testing different ways of delivering programs that complement the supports already available in Kingston. The city says it's looking for projects that can demonstrate a measurable impact in several key areas. That includes helping connect people experiencing homelessness with the broader homelessness support system, improving public safety, supporting recovery-oriented approaches, strengthening partnerships between community organizations, improving accessibility and inclusion, and addressing service gaps that have been identified within Kingston's social support network. The program is open to registered nonprofit organizations, registered charities, and volunteer organizations. Applications officially opened on July 2nd and will be accepted until July 22nd. Individual projects may receive up to $70,000 in funding, with the city expecting to support several pilot initiatives through the program. Successful applicants will be notified by August 14th, and funded projects must be completed by September 30th, 2027. According to the release, applications will not be evaluated directly by the city. Instead, the review process will be led by United Way, Kingston, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington, which will convene an independent review panel. The city says proposals will be assessed using a standardized scoring matrix to help ensure the evaluation process is fair, transparent, and consistent. Officials say the goal of the pilot program is to encourage innovative community solutions while strengthening collaboration among organizations already working to support vulnerable residents. The city says the program is intended to complement, not replace, existing services by helping fill identified gaps and testing approaches that could improve access to supports and enhance community safety over the long term. Organizations interested in applying are encouraged to review the program guidelines, eligibility requirements, and application materials through the city's Get Involved Kingston website. The city says it hopes the new funding program will help build stronger community partnerships while supporting projects that improve access to services, reduce harm, and contribute to a safer and healthier Kingston for everyone. Another message regarding a new pilot project from the city. This new project is making it easier for residents experiencing food insecurity to access healthy food closer to home. In a release issued this week, the city announced the launch of a new community food pantry program, with three neighborhood pantries now open across Kingston. According to the city, the initiative is designed to improve local food security by creating low-barrier, community-based spaces where people can both donate and access food whenever they need it. The pantries operate much like the free little libraries that have become common in neighborhoods over the past several years. Residents are encouraged to take what they need and leave what they can, creating a community-supported system that helps reduce stigma while filling gaps left by more traditional food assistance programs. The city says each pantry accepts fresh produce and non-perishable food items, with inventory supported through a combination of community donations and locally grown produce from the City Community Garden Network. In the release, Community Development Coordinator Ben Leslie said the project is about making food support more accessible where people live. Leslie said, quote, "We're pleased to work with local partners to help address immediate food access needs directly within neighborhoods. The community pantry model offers a collaborative approach to community-led food solutions. This type of support meets people where they are and helps individuals access healthy foods at any time," end quote. According to the city, the initiative supports the food access pillar of Kingston's broader food framework, which was approved by City Council in May of last year. The pilot itself is being funded through the city's Food Systems Funding Program, which supports projects that strengthen Kingston's local food system while improving access to healthy, affordable, and culturally relevant foods. The city says each participating organization has received $5,000 in funding to help purchase pantry materials and provide an initial food supply. Over time, organizers hope the shelves will increasingly be stocked through ongoing community donations and surplus produce from local community gardens. Three organizations are participating in the pilot. One pantry is located at the Bloom Skills Center through the Lakeside Community Garden at 100 Days Road. Another is located on Queen's University's West Campus at 535 Union Street. While the pantry is intended primarily to support students and staff experiencing food insecurity on West Campus, the city notes it is available to all Queen's students. The third pantry is operated by the Mess Studio at St. Andrew's Church on Clergy Street East. Because the pantries are managed by different community partners, operating hours may vary from site to site, and residents are encouraged to contact the organizations directly for details. The city is also encouraging residents who are able to support the initiative by making food donations. Accepted items include fresh fruits and vegetables, canned goods, and dried food products. Foods requiring refrigeration or freezing, such as dairy products, eggs, meat, frozen foods, or prepared meals, cannot be accepted because the pantries are not temperature controlled. City officials say they hope the pilot will strengthen neighborhood food networks, increase access to nutritious food, and encourage residents to support one another through a simple, community-driven approach to food security. Residents can find the locations of the new community pantries, along with other local food resources, through the Food Supports page on the City of Kingston website. The city says it's taking steps to ensure two former Catholic school properties continue serving the community rather than being redeveloped for other purposes. In a release issued today, the city announced it has entered into conditional agreements of purchase and sale with the Algonquin and Lakeshore Catholic District School Board for two surplus school properties recently declared no longer needed by the board. Council directed staff at its June 16th meeting to pursue the acquisition of both properties with the goal of maintaining them for institutional use. The two sites are the former St. Peter Catholic School on 7th Avenue and the former St. Patrick Catholic School on Patrick Street. The city is emphasizing that institutional use refers to organizations such as schools, daycares, libraries, community centers, or places of worship. The release specifically notes that institutional use does not include social services, such as housing or homelessness services, and says those types of uses are not being considered for either property. Because the two sites have different circumstances, the city says each will follow a different path moving forward. For the former St. Peter Catholic School property, staff will now complete the due diligence required before bringing a recommendation back to council later this fall. If council proceeds with the purchase, the city says it would then seek an institutional organization interested in leasing, or potentially entering into a lease-to-own agreement for the property. The release also notes that because the site sits beside Ron LaValle Park, city ownership would preserve the possibility of expanding the park in the future. However, officials stress that no park expansion project is currently being proposed. The process will be slightly different for the former St. Patrick Catholic School. In that case, the city intends to purchase the property only if it can first identify another institutional organization willing to purchase it from the city at fair market value. To do that, the city has launched a formal expression of interest process designed to identify eligible institutional users. Officials say the process is intended to be open, fair, and transparent, giving all interested organizations an equal opportunity to submit proposals while allowing them time to review the property and conduct their own due diligence. The expression of interest officially opened today and will remain open until August 19th. Organizations interested in submitting proposals can request a site visit until July 17th, with tours expected to take place during the week of July 20th. Questions about the process will be accepted until July 28th. Following the close of submissions, city staff will evaluate the proposals and prepare a report for council outlining the results of the process. The city says it hopes to bring those results forward around Council's September 15th meeting. Institutional organizations interested in learning more or requesting the full expression of interest package are being asked to contact the city's Real Estate Services Division. This can be done by emailing realestateinquiries@cityofkingston.ca. According to the city, the overall goal is to ensure these two former school properties continue serving the community through institutional uses for years to come. The City of Kingston is asking residents to help shape part of an upcoming active transportation project in the city's East End. In a release issued this week, the city says it's moving forward with plans to upgrade Gore Road between Highway 15 and the Greenwood Park Trail, with a focus on making the corridor safer and more connected for people who walk, cycle, and roll. According to the city, the project will strengthen connections between Greenwood Park, the Waban Crossing, and Kingston's broader active transportation network. Planned improvements include a new multi-use pathway, upgraded pedestrian and cyclist crossings, improved lighting across the corridor, as well as roadway resurfacing and alignment improvements. The city says the overall layout has already been confirmed, and design work will continue throughout the year, with construction expected to begin late in 2026. At this stage, officials are looking for community feedback specifically on the location of rest areas along the new multi-use pathway. The city says public input will be considered alongside technical requirements such as safety, accessibility, and operational needs before final decisions are made. Residents can review the proposed rest area locations and submit feedback through the city's Get Involved Kingston engagement website until July 28th. Another update regarding community feedback, the city is giving residents a little more time to recognize projects that have helped shape the community. Once again, in another release this week, officials announced the nomination deadline for the 2026 Livable City Design Awards has been extended to Friday, July 17th. The awards, presented every 3 years, recognize buildings, developments, public spaces, and landscape projects that demonstrate excellence in urban design or architecture while making Kingston a more vibrant, accessible, and enjoyable place to live. The city is encouraging residents to nominate public or private projects completed between January 1, 2023 and December 31, 2025. The city's manager of policy planning says extending the deadline gives residents, businesses, and community organizations additional time to recognize the places that make a positive impact on the city. Anyone can submit a nomination, and the city says full eligibility requirements and nomination details are available on its website. Finally, one last message from the city this evening. If you're already looking ahead to one of Kingston's biggest events of the summer, the city has announced more details for the kickoff of the Forever Hip celebrations. In a release issued this week, the City of Kingston announced that Toronto's Choir will headline this year's Rock in the Square concert on Thursday, August 20th in Springer Market Square. The free event runs from 7 to 10 p.m. and marks exactly 10 years since the Tragically Hip's iconic final hometown concert in Kingston. According to the city, the evening will begin with a tribute to the band by Kingston musicians, including Miss Emily, the Abrams, members of Cassador, members of Tiny Horse, and additional performers who will be announced in the coming weeks. The city says the celebration is part of the broader Forever Hip event series, bringing residents and visitors together to celebrate one of Canada's most influential bands through music, community, and shared memories. After those performances, Choir will transform the audience into the performers, leading what the city says could become the largest sing-along in Kingston's history. Founded in Toronto by David Goldman and Nobu Adelman, Choir has built an international following by inviting audiences to learn and perform songs together in large-scale community events. They've collaborated with artists including Patti Smith, David Byrne, Brandi Carlile, Rick Astley, Rufus Wainwright, and even Kermit the Frog, with performances that have attracted millions of online views. The city says no musical experience is required. Participants simply show up, learn the parts together, and sing along to some of the Tragically Hip's best-known songs. The event is completely free to attend. The city is also inviting local businesses and organizations to become part of the celebration by purchasing custom on-screen messages that will rotate before performances during the three-day Forever Hip event series, with interested sponsors asked to contact the city before August 4th. Before we wrap up this evening, I'm going to run through your Friday forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer to finish off your week. If you're heading out after tonight's show, you can test your knowledge with music trivia at Something in the Water Brewing, Riverhead Brewing, or Spearhead Brewing, all starting at 7 p.m. Then keep the night going with karaoke at the Buckle beginning at 9. Or check out the weekly urban music social at La Vida Bistro starting at 9:30. Friday marks the start of the Kingston Buskers Rendezvous, running from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. throughout downtown Kingston. Expect incredible street performances from talented buskers from around the world all weekend long. At 2 p.m., KFPL's Isabel Turner Branch hosts Making Miniatures, followed by a quick and cute card and scrapbooking class at the Tet Center at 6. Friday evening also brings Kickin' It Country to the City Hall Amphitheater from 7 to 8 p.m., featuring live performances from local country artists. Sports fans can head to Carrico Home Field at the Invista Center, where the Kingston Sentinels take on Richmond Hill SC in their final regular season home game of the summer. Kickoff is at 7:30 p.m. with tickets available at the gate or online. And general admission is free for post-secondary students with a valid student ID from any Kingston school. You can wrap up Friday with karaoke at Jersey starting at 8:30 or at the Buckle and Daft Brewing beginning at 9. Saturday starts with the Kingston Public Market at Springer Market Square from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., featuring local farmers, makers, and artisans. The Kingston Buskers Rendezvous continues downtown once again from 11 until 6. At 12:30, enjoy free live music during Saturday sessions in Confederation Park, showcasing a variety of local musicians all summer long. Then at 1 p.m., Cultivate Arts Commons hosts The Mending Way, Learn to Mend Clinic, where you can learn some practical clothing repair skills. In the evening, line dancing returns to the Buckle from 7 to 8 p.m. Sunday begins with the Memorial Center Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. At 10 a.m., you can enjoy yoga in Battery Park or browse vintage finds at the Montreal Street Vintage Market, running from 10 until 5 p.m. The final day of the Kingston Buskers Rendezvous continues downtown from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., before the weekend winds down with karaoke at both the Merchant and the Toucan beginning at 9 p.m. That is your weekend forecast. Once again, that was just some of the events and concerts coming up this weekend in the region. Be sure to head to CFRC.ca for our full events listings, curated by CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny Hinch. If you have an event or concert that you'd like to add to our online or on-air calendar, reach out today via CFRC.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.